And when Jesus had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he saith unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. Our Father, we thank thee that the whole universe is held in the hollow of thy hand, and that we and the full circle of our loved ones are under the authority and care of that sovereign love which is manifest in Christ Jesus our Lord. We would seek to submit ourselves to thy gracious sovereignty without any reservation. May the words that we have sung be our firm commitment. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when, and where. And with the deep sincerity and confident trust and dedication which the words require, help us to pray the prayer which our Lord taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as 'tis in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is a privilege to have on our campus this week, and speaking to us in chapel this morning, Mr. James G. Sturtz, Jr., who is Associate Secretary for Missionary Personnel of the Foreign Mission Board of our Southern Baptist Convention. Mr. Sturtz is by no means a stranger to this campus. This seminary is his responsibility so far as the personnel department of the board is concerned, and he visits at least twice a year on our campus. We look upon him really as one of our family here and are always delighted to have him. I should convey to you the information that the interviews which he is holding, conferences with interested students, are being held in room 208 of the administration building. There has been a change here in the place of these conferences, so I wanted to let you know that it is room 208 in the administration building. Also, Mr. Sturtz wants to have a meeting immediately following chapel this morning with those who are being interviewed and with all who are interested in discussing and learning more about the appointment procedures and needs for overseas service. At this time, we hear with gratitude and interest and prayerfulness, Mr. Sturtz.
Thank you, Dr. Copeland. I suppose because I am a member of the personnel department of the Foreign Mission Board, this question is asked me as much as anyone moving in and out of our Baptist churches. Why aren't more young people following through on the commitment which they seem to make by the hundreds at places like Ridgecrest and Glorieta and various state camps and assemblies? We hear about the hundreds who sign decision cards and they come back from these meetings, and then we hear the board say that there are not enough in prospect for appointment in any one given year. How come? This problem has become rather acute in our denominational life. The president of one of our seminaries has just written in the Alumni Magazine regarding the drop-off in enrollment at our seminaries, and the overtones of this throughout our Baptist life. I think the explanation for this is only partial in this particular article. I hesitate this morning to try to answer this question, just as I do to the parents, to the pastors, to the leaders who ask it of me in other places, because it's rather painfully personal. It's one which I tried to avoid answering for more than 10 years in my own ministry. And I realized this morning that any answer which I might give is probably prejudiced and somewhat subjective, and therefore possibly irrelevant this morning to you. In spite of any personal hesitancy I may feel, however, in answering this question, I feel it must be answered by the church. We must have the courage from time to time to look at ourselves under the sovereignty of God and look again afresh at this matter of His will, His personal will for our own individual lives. Dr. James S. Stewart, in his little book, Thine is the Kingdom, gives us some insight, I think, at this point, and I want to share a little of that with you this morning. Dr. Stewart, in his book, said it's a sad reflection on the spiritual climate of the Western world that so often when members of the younger churches of Africa and Asia come into personal contact with us, they express themselves as surprised and nonplussed by our lack of radiance and vitality and joy. Is this really the same religion, they ask us, which broke upon us like a rising dawn and filled our hearts with singing? We stand condemned, Dr. Stewart says, because in many areas we have preached something we have never dared to practice. He suggests some reasons for this problem in the Western world today and in the Christian church, and I want to pass them on to you without too much comment. He said, in many quarters, Christian conviction is haunted by the chilly shadow of intellectual doubt. He attributes this doubt to our theological vagueness. And theological vagueness has a way of begetting missionary apathy. I wouldn't want to pursue that too far, but I would like to illustrate with an experience of Mr. Gene Daniels of the Southern Presbyterian Mission Board, who is personnel secretary for that board, who said recently when he was in the great institution of his denomination, preparing to speak in chapel, the dean called him aside prior to the service and immediately began to structure the service and say, now, as you know, we're not accustomed to emotionalism in this great convocation, and we take a rather dim view of any sort of appeal being made. And Daniel said, before he got through with me, I felt that I was in a straitjacket. And he said, I did the best I could with the service, but afterwards, just out of meanness, I checked the record and was not surprised to find that this institution, one of the greatest, quote, in this denomination, had not produced a mission volunteer in 25 years. Now that says something to us. Granted that there would be other factors to be considered in the picture. A theological vagueness and the apathy that so often results from that sort of vagueness and indecision has a way of undercutting mission concern. And when our primary task is simply a critical study, we ought not to be surprised to find that few will be moving out from that kind of study to do anything under the leadership of God about the problems of this world. That is the considered opinion of men like Dr. Stewart and Dr. Daniels, and I pass it on to you. Now, the reason, Stewart says, is that of self-distrust. The church has developed an apathy here because of self-distrust. Seeing the mess we've made of so many things in our lifetime, many thoughtful Christians are pulling back Many wonder how we dare thrust our convictions upon a world when here at home we are divided so badly in the church. Racial tensions, denominational squabbles, ruptured fellowship, segregated worship. I must confess that sometimes when pronouncements come pealing forth from the pulpits of our great churches, I almost decide to declare a moratorium on preaching. I am embarrassed, as you are embarrassed, by some of the pronouncements of those who would be our leaders. The image we present to the world as Southern Baptists many times makes me want to hide my head. And I've seen some thoughtful students pull back, saying, I wonder if we've got a message for the world when we can't do any better here at home in living with other Christians. Ought we to try to go across the world to evangelize those we loosely call heathen? This is a problem. The third factor, which seems to be at work here and undercutting missionary concern, is the breakup of old patterns of missionary work. Now, this may not apply to us as much as to some other denominations, but it has been a factor. When we launched our work as the Christian Church in earnest some 100 years ago, we worked largely in colonial countries, and our missionaries were identified with colonial powers. When these nations finally gained their independence, they not only threw out the colonial powers, but they've had a tendency to throw out those identified with the colonial powers. And frankly, some major mission boards today have pulled back because they have not been able to change gears. I hope and pray that we Southern Baptists can, that we are changing gears, that we are able to work in this new era, the rising tide of nationalism. Another reason that's given by Stuart is the assimilation to the world. P.T. Forsyth said one reason the church is too little missionary is that it is established on good terms with its world rather than being a foreign mission from another. A church whose primary concern is its own physical comfort, which spends the lion's share of its budget upon itself and its creature comfort, is not going to put the enemy to flight. The average Southern Baptist church today is spending 90% of every dollar laid on the plate within its own four walls. And when the average minister of the gospel is more concerned about the carpet in his home and the paneling in his study than he is about a lost and dying world, the enemy will never be put to flight. As I have interviewed candidates, I've come to some other conclusions than those reached by Dr. Stuart, and I wanted to pass them on to you this morning. I think all the reasons he gives are valid, but I think one of the things I encounter most of all in working with candidates is the problem of stereotypes, where the matter of a missionary call is concerned. For example, the Damascus Road stereotype. Young people say, well, I'm willing to go if God calls, but I just haven't had a call yet. And when I probe just a little bit, I find that what they are referring to is that Pauline experience on the Damascus Road, the bright light, the vision, which is overpowering. And the idea seems to be, we dare not go across the world unless God strikes us blind. Well, I think the fact is our denomination has been plagued by this cataclysmic idea in relation to the conversion experience. And all of us have grown up believing that no one is truly converted unless he is stricken on the road somewhere. And we've simply carried over that emphasis into the matter of finding God's will. And many of us have failed to go because we've been waiting around for God to hit us in the head. The twisted wrist concept is kin. One ought not to ever serve the Lord until somehow the Almighty gets him in the corner and puts the pressure on. And I have heard evangelists get up and almost in a bragging manner talk about how many years they ran from the Lord and how many years they fought the Lord before they surrendered. And I never have been too impressed with that sort of testimony. Why, in the light of overwhelming world need, do we have to wait for God to beg us and twist our arm? The other day, a faithful, lovely Christian
stood there and said, "Oh, I want to be a missionary. My husband wants to be a missionary, but we just haven't had a call." I think she is one who is waiting somehow for God to give her a special revelation or to twist her arm. And I simply say to Christians like that, have you not eyes to see? Or ears to hear? The broken heart theory. It's another stereotype. You don't run into it as much as you did a few years ago, but the idea seemed to be that one ought not to go to the mission field until he'd suffered some terrible personal tragedy or loss. And when one's love affair had been broken, you know, then one went across the world, I suppose, to lick his wounds and do what he could for the heathen. Well, I whatever else you want to say about that, it's mighty poor motivation for going anywhere and doing anything. We're not looking for escapists who can't somehow quite cut the mustard here at home. Another stereotype is that only saints can go. And that's a dandy. I used it for 10 years. I told my wife, I'm just not pious enough to be a missionary. You know, I thought somehow missionaries were of a special breed. And they are, but not in the way we think. I found out my recent trip around the world and on all these mission fields and working with them intimately for these 3.5 years that they're just flesh and blood. But this is the idea among Southern Baptists, somehow that missionaries live on cloud number 9 somewhere, that they really don't quite understand all of the realities of life and that only those who are super pious can go. Well, this is a stereotyped idea. We ought to get rid of it. Behind all of these explanations and excuses which I have just enumerated, I think there lies one fundamental reason for our lack of world witnesses and more mission-minded churches. Behind all this, I think there is a reason for the fall-off, if it be true, of mission volunteers and ministerial students in our seminaries and in our colleges. I think it is our failure to face up to the cross of Jesus Christ. You pick up the newspaper on any Saturday evening, as I do every time I'm traveling across our convention. I'm always interested to see what the preachers are preaching on Sunday morning. And I've noticed how many of the titles begin with that blessed word, how. And the whole idea seems to be what religion can do for you. These sermons begin with the word, how. How to get peace of mind. How to get rid of your tensions. How to get the most out of living. In short, how to manipulate God and have your own way. Here's a how for you. How long has it been since you've heard or preached a sermon on the sovereignty of God? Or how long has it been outside the Easter season since you have preached on the cross of Jesus Christ? But Christians at ease in Zion do not want to hear about crosses, much less preach on the cross, which has always been a stumbling block and foolishness to self-centered souls. We've run after teachers who leave us safe and secure in the status quo and promise our heart's desires at bargain rates. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me," but we don't want to hear about crosses. And so we've substituted a psychology of religion. We needn't wonder in our churches why more of our young people are not stepping up to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We need to hear again and understand the words of our Lord, which were read for us this morning. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself. I think it was Dr. McDowell at Southern who said this means say goodbye to himself. Become a stranger to himself. Not give up Coca-Colas and cigarette smoking and motion pictures, which may or may not be an index of anything in a spiritual sense. If you're going to be a disciple, you've got to say goodbye to this clamoring ego that always wants to be front and center, which will always take the route of creature comforts, which will always play it safe, which will always find excuses for not risking or daring, which will always say to the self, save yourself. Take good care. Some of us have taken such good care of ourselves that we will lose ourselves ultimately. Fort Worth, Texas was the scene of a World Missions Conference, the first of its kind. There have been others since, and undoubtedly will be many more. And people talked about that great meeting for months, about the marvelous group of volunteers who were going to march out across the world in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. 43 actually went so far as to sign a card. 30 of them never made any further contact. 7 went so far as to write a letter. 1. 1 is on the mission field today. 5% of all those making decisions at Baptist assemblies go any further than writing one letter to the Foreign Mission Board. Why? We are afraid or unwilling to die. We can go compass land and sea, finding explanations and excuses and rationalizations, and all we want right here, I think, is the problem, the cross. When we ministers have the courage to preach the cross, but more to live it, I think we will see coming out of the ranks of God's children ample volunteers for the task at home and out to the ends of the earth. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, forbid that we should preach and then fail to practice. All of us stand indicted at the foot of the cross, for we have turned each to his own way, seeking substitutes, compromising, rationalizing, and yet he hangs there, thine only begotten Son, loving us so much that even while we were yet in our sins, he died for us. O, our Father, in the light of his death there, and his victory over sin and death, forbid that we should do any less than give him our all. Help us to become a stranger to ourselves, that we might live for him. In his name we pray. Amen.